Hey Jeff, it's Rach. I was just calling to tell you I cannot stop listening to the podcast. It's great, and I feel like you're opening a whole new world of stories and people and connecting some kind of magical, I don't know, spider web, and it feels good to be a part of. So I'm really proud of you. Hope you're having a good time. Love you. Bye.
This is the 10th episode of 1F Jeff.
The number 10 is the base of the decimal system, which is the most widely used number system in the world. It's the sum of the first four natural numbers, 1, 2, 3, and 4. In many cultures, it symbolizes completeness or perfection.
10 episodes. How about that? Thank you to everyone for continuing to listen, for just starting to listen, or for just listening to the first 5 minutes of this episode. I appreciate you all. I would say that I couldn't do it without you, but I could. And I would do it without you, but it's definitely more fun with you. And speaking of fun, Bing Bong, how do you feel about our 10th episode?
It's your show, Jeff.
Right, okay. How do you feel about my 10th episode, Bing Bong?
I feel great about it, Jeff. Bing Bong feels great about your 10th episode, Jeff.
Thank you, Bing Bong. Anything new with you?
No.
Well, sometimes a boring life is better than a sad life, right?
No.
I love you, Bing Bong.
I love you too. Bing Bong loves you, Jeff.
Hooray! This episode is part two of my road trip across the United States and elsewhere. Specifically, my drive from Wyoming to Nevada. Reno, Nevada.
Reno, Nevada is known as the biggest little city in the world. It was founded in the 1860s and grew rapidly during the mining boom. It's also famous for its casinos and its proximity to Lake Tahoe,
where I get lost in the parking garage of my hotel for a half an hour.
Some casinos have huge and confusing parking structures, and they don't always have clear signage or easy to find exits.
So stay tuned for that.
Where the fuck is the goddamn fucking elevator?
This episode, again, will be a bit raw and unpolished, perhaps a little more polished and produced than the last episode, but still, you know, forgive. I'm working with what I have and I'm learning as I go. I appreciate all the positive feedback I got about the last episode. I didn't quite expect it, to be honest. It seems like it's the episodes that I don't think are that good are the ones that resonate the most with people. Or maybe there's something else going on that I'm not aware of. Maybe people really did want to hear more of me talking. If you guys did love or hate the last episode or this episode, or have any opinions or thoughts about the podcast, or honestly, anything at all, you can always email me at 1fjeffpod@gmail.com. You can send me a voice memo from your phone through that email address, and maybe I'll play it on the show. Who am I kidding? Just send me the fucking voice memo. I'll play it on the show. As always, thank you for listening. Thank you for being here. Here's me in Wyoming.
Okay, I'm in Wyoming now. Just thought I'd let you know. My card just said, welcome to Wyoming. I mean, it didn't say it out loud, it just showed me on the screen. I'm on my way to my hotel for the evening called Bear Lake Lodge or something. It's just a motel, it's cheap. I went on the Needles Highway today at the recommendation of, I forget who, I think somebody who I met along the way said you should drive the Needles Highway.
The Needles Highway is a stunning 14-mile route in Custer State Park, South Dakota. It's famous for its granite spires known as the Needles, and it features several tight tunnels and hairpin turns.
And yeah, that was something else. At one point, you're like driving through like a one-lane rock tunnel, and everybody's waiting to go through. I don't know how to describe it. I'm exhausted. But I'm in Wyoming, so that's exciting. Yeah, it ended up being quite a long day, and I'm not going to get to my hotel until about 7:15, but that's okay. Oh, there's a sign that says, welcome to Wyoming. Hooray. I've been thinking about how what I wanted to do with this podcast on this trip is not exactly what I've done with this podcast on this trip. I feel like I've been in a hurry, which is a thing that I've been struggling with my whole life, I think, this feeling of impatience, of being in a hurry to get somewhere or do something, not being able to relax very well. So maybe that's something to think about. Okay, I'm gonna keep driving.
So I'm in Sundance, Wyoming. It's beautiful here. It's a very small town. But Wyoming is when I got into Wyoming, suddenly everything became beautiful. Not that it wasn't beautiful in South Dakota, but it's a different kind of beautiful. Anyway, I had dinner at this bar around the corner from the hotel I'm staying in. Motel. Very motel. And a guy came in, young guy came in. Bartender knew exactly what drink he wanted. It was a Coors Light in a bottle. Started talking to him. Sam's a 29-year-old cattle rancher. Went to Ohio State University for finance. Worked in finance for four or five years. Realized that he hated working in an office. And he wanted to work outside. So he started working on ranches. And he's traveled all over the country working on ranches. And I really admire that, you know. He's living life on his own terms. And that's more than a lot of people can say. I asked him what he did today, and he said, we spent most of the day trying to find about, I forget what the number was, 7 or 8 cows that had gotten lost somewhere. He told me about all the different kinds of horses, the number of times he'd gotten bucked off of horses that he liked, but he understood why. The Ohio State Buckeyes, his sister who lives in Brooklyn, New York, works in fashion. And, you know, I was thinking at the time, and I even told him, I was like, you know, about the podcast, and I was like, I like times like this, I wish I had my microphone on me. And there's been so many times on this trip that I wish I had my microphone on me. But also, like, as I've said, it's almost better that I haven't, because I don't think the conversation would have been the same. Because just like a camera changes the nature of a conversation more profoundly than a microphone does, but still, a microphone, if I had pulled out a microphone and been like, hey, I have a podcast, can we have a conversation on the podcast? It wouldn't have been the same conversation. It would have been different. Because it's funny, you know, this whole trip, it's been like, I've been going into it with this attitude of like, everybody I meet, I'm going to go into it with an open mind until they give me a reason not to have an open mind about it. And literally every single person that I've met, I had conversations with and talked to, they've all been wonderful. Like, they've all been lovely. They've all been interesting. And frankly, everybody seems to feel the same way about politics, too. I have no idea how Sam voted in the last election. But me and Sam agree that the whole thing is broken, that neither side has our best interest at heart, and that the media is making us all hate each other. And it's really, really bad. And that's a sentiment that I've gotten from other people, too. I'm just like, wow, you know? I'm sure there's assholes out there. I mean, there are, of course. But my experience in driving across this beautiful country of ours has not been that it's a country of ignorant assholes. It's been that it's a country of interesting people who are all, like, disenchanted with the government. Nobody's really happy with what's going on in Washington, D.C., I don't think I've ever talked to a cattle rancher before. I don't think I ever thought that I would. But honestly, if I lived here in Sundance, me and Sam would be friends. I'd get drinks with him. But I think that most people, if you said, oh, they're a cattle rancher, there's immediately a stereotype wall that goes up. Who's a cattle rancher? A Trump supporter. Oh, I don't like them. The media has told me they're stupid. These stories that the media is telling us aren't true. This division the media is fomenting in our country is all a lie. They're making money, getting us to hate each other. And that's bullshit. This town, Sundance, is a very small town. I think there's about 1,000 people who live here.
Sundance is a small town in northeastern Wyoming, known for its connection to the Sundance Kid, who got his nickname there after an arrest in 1887.
It's a sleepy town in the foothills of the Black Hills of South Dakota, I think. I don't know. It's real pretty out here, and I just went for a walk to close my rings. It's dusk in a way that only happens in the middle of Wyoming. Not the middle, the edge. I don't know where the fuck I am. I'll be honest. I don't know where I am. I'm near Devil's Tower. I'm going to see that shit tomorrow, bro. Anyway, I don't know how I'm going to make this into a podcast, but I'll do my best. Okay, it's day Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Day 5, 9:46 a.m. Going to Devil's Tower.
And then driving south, I found that an amazing Airbnb. It looks like amazing Airbnb for tonight with free breakfast made for me and a coffee bar and everything. It's in a town called Atlantic City, Wyoming. Didn't even know there was an Atlantic City, Wyoming. I think it's actually in the middle of nowhere, which isn't always the worst place to be. I've gone 1,654 miles, and I've been driving for 29 hours and 20 minutes. Good Lord, Jeff. Good Lord. I would love to have a salad that has something other than iceberg lettuce. I've tried salads the last couple nights, and it's just been it's not even worth it. It's like iceberg lettuce with a bunch of cheese and bacon on the top. So that's no bueno. It's just, you know, you eat on the road, and you eat on the road in this part of America, and, you know, the eating habits are different. There's a lot of beef. Try not to eat too much beef, but to a degree, it can't be avoided. But it would be nice to have a nice big salad with a lot of interesting lettuce and spinach and whatever else. C'est la vie. I'm excited about today because it's going to be, I think, not a crowded road day. I'm not going to any national parks or that close to any national parks, although Atlantic City is kind of close to the Grand Tetons, but that's at the very end. Beautiful field of beautiful wildflowers. I think those are sunflowers too, to my right. To my left, some kind of half mountains with some of the grasses worn away, revealing the red dirt underneath. Kind of pretty. In front of me, a light blue Subaru. Inside the car, Jeff Taylor, 51 years old, devastatingly handsome for his age, rather tired and road weary. Is that a thing? I'm a little road weary. All right, bye.
I'm at Devil's Tower, and I entered the park, and now we're just, like, sitting at a red light, but it's not clear what the red light is for, and cars are backed up, like, way back.
Devil's Tower is a geological formation in northeastern Wyoming, standing 867 feet above the Belfort River. It holds cultural significance for several Native American tribes and was designated the first U.S. National Monument in 1906.
And we haven't moved for, like, 10 minutes, and I'm just confused as to what the point of this light is. There's cars coming from the other direction, but, like, why are we not moving? Anyway, lots of close encounters. Feelings being here. They built the entire set here. They shot it on location and built the whole fucking set. It's amazing. Oh, we're moving. I take back what I said earlier about looking forward to this day because it won't be a very big traffic day. I've been sitting here for 15 minutes now. And I just don't know what's going on. And I'm like, struggling to maintain my patience because I just don't understand what the hell could be going on. Like, cars are now backed up for as far as I can see. We haven't moved an inch. Well, we've moved 10 feet in 15 minutes. Like, why aren't we moving? I'm honestly, oh, we're moving. God bless America.
Wyoming is the most beautiful state I have been to so far. When I left Devil's Tower, which was pretty amazing, you're driving through flat countryside for a while, for an hour or two, and then suddenly it starts to get hilly, and then suddenly you come over one of the hills, and then the whole landscape just opens up, and you see the mountains in the background. There's brown, hilly landscape in the foreground that I'm driving through, and then far in the distance, there's a giant mountain range that's all covered in blue. It's amazing. Really, it's breathtaking. And there's no cars on the road. I was going to pull over to try to take a picture, but I'm going 90 miles an hour. So, but yeah, well done, Wyoming.
So I am in Thermopolis, Wyoming now. I'm just taking a quick respite before I do the final hour and a half to Atlantic City, Wyoming, where I'll be staying tonight. It's been an incredible drive. I've seen so much beauty on this trip. It's, again, the law of diminishing returns. It's hard to all take in. But wow, went through this mountain pass that was just stunning. I forget the name. And you get to the end of it and there's just these, I think it's called two walls or something, but there's these giant walls of granite, these giant, I think, granite walls. It's just incredible. I've never seen anything quite like it. Anyway, it's 96 degrees here in Thermopolis. There's hot springs here, but it's a little too warm to want to, I don't think I have any interest in soaking my body in hot water. I do wish it was cooler because it's like usually 20 or 30 degrees cooler here, apparently. I am feeling a bit lonely. I don't know if lonely is the right word. Yeah, a little lonely. I'm staying in Airbnb tonight, and I think there's a host there. And I hope the host is nice because it would be nice to like have a friendly host to talk to tonight. My car is holding up just fine. All right, on to Atlantic City, where they blew up the Chicken Man in Philly last night. They blew up his house good. Not the same Atlantic City, of course, but, you know, we're doing what we can. All right, and I have hit 2,000 miles on this trip. I don't know what city I'm in. Somewhere in Wyoming. Lions Valley Road, anyone? Sand Creek Massacre Trail. Everybody loves that one. 2,000.1 miles now. So we're still moving. And we have been driving for 35 hours and 53 minutes. 13 miles outside of Hudson and 23 miles from Lander, Wyoming. Going over the Little Wind River. Everybody loves that one. All right. 2,000 miles. Still going.
Hello. I am in my bedroom here in this, it's a very big house in the middle of nowhere. It's totally off the grid. It's powered by solar and wind. And this couple in their 80s lives here, and they own the house. They're trying to sell it. They're very nice, but it is one of the things where I do feel like I'm a house guest, kind of. I felt earlier like I should be like going and talking and saying hi to them, but I was so tired that I was just like, I'm just going to go lie down in my bedroom and figure out my next 2 days of travel or 3 days of travel. Anyway, it's a beautiful spot. It's just gorgeous. It's near this old mining town called, I think I mentioned it, Atlantic City. And it's really a rundown mining town. There's like one restaurant, one store. I had dinner there in this like renovated saloon from the 1800s or something. Another hamburger. So much beef. So much beef. I'm extremely tired right now. I'm going to get up early tomorrow and they're making me breakfast, or the woman's making me breakfast. D is her name. And then I'm going to get on the road, drive to the Tetons, and then drive to Idaho Falls, where I have rented a room in a hotel and it says they have laundry. So they better have laundry because I need to do laundry tomorrow night.
Day 6, Monday, 9:53 a.m. I'm traveling north on, I don't know, some road in Wyoming. The least populous, but also the most beautiful state by a landslide so far. Right now on my right, there is a giant brown field, but in the distance there are the Grand Tetons, which is where I am heading. Last night I stayed, as I've said, in Atlantic City with Dee and her husband. I forget what her husband's name was. It was a little awkward, I'll be honest. It was a beautiful house. A lot of animals, saw antelope and prairie dogs and big rabbits and all sorts of animals. But it was a little awkward. But she did make me a wonderful breakfast this morning, which is like the biggest breakfast I've had since I've been here. It was an enlightening and interesting and unique experience to stay out there. I feel like they're very lonely people. She said they don't even stay there in the winter because there's so much snow they can't even, the snow just covers up the house entirely. She also said that her daughter is a professional ballroom dancer who wins competitions all over the world, which also interesting. I'm enjoying myself. I'm finding some peace out here. I've been traveling for less than a week, and it feels like I've been traveling for a month. But again, that's, you know, why we travel. Part of the reason, anyway. To slow down time. To make everything new again. Be like a kid, you know? Wyoming is fucking enormous. And it's crazy that this is the least populated state. I think there's fewer than 1 million people live in this state. Fewer than live in Columbus, Ohio. And also, America is fucking big.
You really get a perspective on the geography of America when you drive across the country like this. Places that I knew where these states were, generally speaking, but I didn't know how they connected together. I didn't know where the time zone started and ended. I didn't have a feel for it. I mean, I don't say that I necessarily do now, but I kind of do, because I'm driving all across it. But that said, I don't have any fucking idea where I am right now, aside from Wyoming, so.
You can look back at your past in, I think, two different ways. You can look back and feel bad because of the mistakes you made, because of the paths you didn't take, because of the friends you lost for whatever reason, because of the relationships that ended. Or you can look at it as just being part of the path that you're still on, and that had any of the things, bad and good, not happened in your past, you wouldn't be where you are right now. And where I am right now is driving into the Grand Tetons on a beautiful summer day. A bit frustrated by the slow drivers, to be fair, but I'm trying to lean into it. I think that's maybe what I need to do on this trip, is try to find some patience. Because I just got a speeding ticket because of my need to always be in a hurry. What am I in a hurry for? I mean, I can tell you what I'm in a hurry for. I'm in a hurry to get to the place. But then I'll be in a hurry to get to the next place. At what point do I learn how to slow down and enjoy the getting to the place? At what point can I stop and enjoy the path itself instead of just trying to get off the path as quickly as I can to get to another path, and then another path, and then another path? I've been so blessed over the last five years to have time, and I'm glad that I'm finally using the time this year. My job for 4 years was, for the most part, very, very easy. I was working from home. I often didn't have a lot of work to do at all. I was generally working about maybe 10 to 20 hours a week. And what was I doing with all the time, all that free time? Worrying about wasting all the free time. But again, don't look back, because I'm figuring it out now, and better late than never, right? And I am driving through the Grand Tetons, and it is beautiful. There are pine trees and mountains all around me. And this is good. This is okay. So I'm in the Grand Teton National Park now. It's crowded. And, like, it's really pretty, of course. It's crazy pretty. But, boy, there's just a lot of traffic and people. And it kind of makes the whole experience, I don't know, I want it all to myself. Grand Tetons, well, the word Teton comes from a French word meaning nipple. Because apparently French trappers or something discovered these and called them nipple because of the way the mountains look. I haven't looked hard enough at them to determine whether the mountains look nipple-like, but I would suggest that maybe they'd been hiking for a long time and maybe were hungry and lonely for female companionship. So I think anything at that point is going to look like a nipple. And let's all stop reproducing, can we? And like photography, let's talk about photography. I used to love to take pictures, and I still do sometimes, but it's not nearly as much as I used to, for the simple reason that everybody has a camera in their pocket and everybody is taking pictures of everything all the time. You stop at these overlooks and these like lookout points and you're just one of 10 or 20 people, maybe 30 people standing there taking pictures with their phone. Why don't they just distribute a digital zip file of a bunch of great photos of the park when you walk in, and you can, everybody can get them, and then nobody can take pictures anymore. Then everybody can just stop and appreciate the park. Because I do it too. Everybody wants to take pictures. It's a very human inclination. My dad took tons of pictures. And when I was a kid, I would get so annoyed because he wanted to stop at every overlook, every scenic vista, and take pictures of us. And now I look back and I'm like, well, thanks, Dad. Really, thank you for doing that. Because my dad took some amazing photos. Amazing.
Is there a term for being exhausted from touristing?
Hey, Jacques, what do they look like to you, the big mountains, the montagna? What do they look like to you? I think they look a little like a nipple. That's what we call them, the nipples. We call them the grand nipples.
That's one of France's wonderful marks they've left on our country, calling one of our most beloved natural landmarks nipples.
Très bien.
Just a quick announcement. I am now in Idaho, which, according to the license plate, has famous potatoes. The state of Idaho marketing team needs to up its game on those license plates, because famous potatoes is really not, aren't you like a weirdly shaped state? Looks kind of like Oklahoma if you flip it over and turn it. Has some tremendous beauty so far. But famous potatoes, I mean, I don't know if there's something to brag about. All right, we're going over Moose Creek. You know what that means? It doesn't mean nothing. And there's a burn ban. Okay, that's all for today's episode of I'm in a New State. Tune in again for I Am in Nevada, followed by I Am in California. Buenos dias. Buenos dias. Buenos dias. Hoy es el día 7. Bueno. Day 7. Today I am driving straight to Reno, Nevada, where I am staying at the Circus Circus Hotel and Casino. I have a 9-hour drive today. I have driven 2,416 miles. I have driven for about 44 and a half hours, and I am going to drive 600 miles today. I'm excited to go to Reno. I've never been before, and I enjoy weird casino towns, and I enjoy weird casino hotels. I don't believe I will gamble. Mostly, I'm just gonna go for the shits and giggles. Mostly giggles. Hopefully only one shit. All right, it's 11:50 a.m., soon to be 10:50 a.m., because I'm, I think, nearing the Nevada border, and I have 7.5 hours to go till I get to Reno. Never been to Reno. Been to yes. Hoo-hoo! You get it? Wonder if anybody makes those shirts. It's not Reno, it's yes. That's a million-dollar idea right there. Write that down. Well, I'm in Nevada. I got into Nevada about, I don't know, an hour ago. I'm on 80 West, and it is desolate. Beautiful, but desolate. It's just like foothills and mountains, small mountains, and brown, as far as the eye can see. It's real pretty. I've thought about stopping to take some pictures, and I might, but it's just difficult to see a turnoff until you're right next to the turnoff. And then it's too late. But yeah, it's super pretty. I am about 26 miles from Wells, Nevada, if that rings any bells to anybody at all. There's green, brown, little blue, red mountains, blue sky. I'm developing calluses or blisters on part of my hand from driving so much. So there's that. I'm trying not to hold the steering wheel in that way, but it's just the way I hold the steering wheel. It's just one little part that I'm developing a callus on, so go me. I'm 162 miles from Reno. I feel like I'm absolutely in the home stretch of this leg of my cross-country trip, but today has been a lot of driving. A lot of beautiful driving, albeit, and now it's like getting kind of stormy, so there's like crazy storm clouds in front of me, and you can see the rain coming down, but there's none coming down on me yet. There's a lot of lightning coming out of those clouds too, but there's also like a giant circle of blue sky, so I don't know, we'll see. This trip has definitely gotten to be more expensive than I was imagining.
and I'm trying to not stress about it. I have savings I can throw into, but I just didn't expect to spend this much money on car repairs, on a speeding ticket, on hotel rooms, et cetera, as I have. I guess I didn't think it out well, but what fun is it to think things out well before you do them? Not fun. It's more fun just to fly by the seat of your pants sometimes. Take chances. Money comes and goes. It turns out that, like, many states out west have 80-mile-an-hour speed limits. So far, it's South Dakota, Wyoming for part of that, and Nevada. Maybe Idaho, too, but I don't remember. Anyway, very pretty. There's kind of mountains all around me. Not big mountains, but, you know, brown mountains. A lot of billboards, too. And then a lot of, like, desert-looking areas with brush and so forth and so on. Land for sale, desert acreage. So it is the desert. That's a sporting goods billboard. Yeah. I've been tossing around the idea of driving out to St. Louis to see the City Museum for, I don't know, a few months now. Ironically, it turned out to not be really even a highlight of this trip, but it doesn't matter. So I've been thinking about doing that for a while. And then after the Ireland trip, me and my sister were back in Westlake, and we went out for a beer. Her and her son go camping out at this Wright's Lake campground every year. They've gone for like 10 or 15 years now. And I went last year, and it was great. And we were talking about it, and she told me when it was, and I was like, you know, maybe I could go. Maybe I could drive across the country and just fucking go. Like, why the fuck not? I got some severance pay left. I got some cryptocurrency. 2.5 weeks later, I fucking went. I just went. If you have vertigo, dizziness, or migraines, call Gates Brain Health, 707-507-2000. I have been on this road for a long time, and it feels like it's never going to end. And I believe I see the Sierra Nevadas in front of me. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. If there is a heaven, I think God would like me. They'd be like, Jeff, you've done a lot of good. You've done some bad things, but you've mostly done good stuff. You've used your existence on this planet well, so you're in. Which cloud do you want? You want that one? The fluffy one? You can have that fluffy one. You want to go meet Jimi Hendrix, or who do you want to meet? Buddha? All right. He's a bit intense, but you can meet him. I know you wouldn't think he's intense, but he's actually very intense, Buddha. It was surprising to me, too, but he's an anxious guy, that Buddha. And he's got a weight problem. We're trying to get him on Ozempic, but he is not. He's resistant to that. Yeah, we have Ozempic in heaven. Yeah. It's still expensive. Yeah. Yeah, still made in Denmark. It's a complicated process as to how it gets up to heaven, but don't you worry. We get it here. Attention, attention, attention. I have driven 3,000 miles in 1 week. It's a lot. I just passed Painted Rock, Nevada. I am about 30 miles outside of Reno. Still going. What brings you to Reno?
Actually going to meet up with family.
Have you gambled?
I have not.
Have you been here before?
I have not, no.
What do you think?
I like it. It's different.
Keep going, explain.
it's not as big as
Vegas.
Las Vegas. It has more of like the small town casino charm, but like a bunch of them put together.
Do you like to gamble?
I usually don't. I enjoy it, but I'm not much of a gambler.
You feel like you've come out, like you feel like over the long term, you've come out like on top.
I've come out on top.
I'm, well done. Well yeah, done. Yeah. You know when to quit.
I do. Yeah.
Where are you from?
New York City originally.
Oh, where do you live now?
Oakland.
Oh, I lived in New York for like 10 years. What part of New York?
Brooklyn, Park Slope.
No kidding. Where at?
Just off Flatbush, near 7th.
I was on 7th and 9th for a couple years.
So I was on Park Place and then Prospect Place.
What do you do?
I'm a horticulturist, but mostly a painter now.
Well done, sir. Well done. What's your name?
Sully.
Sully. Jeff. Good to meet you, man.
Nice to meet you.
Thanks for talking to me, man.
Appreciate you. Thank you.
Do you come here a lot?
Huh?
You come to Reno a lot?
No.
Zoltar has more to say for you if you have a small gift for me.
I'm already lost in the fucking casino and I've barely been here. Seriously though, how do I get the fuck out of here? Why am I in the garage now? I am walking through the parking garage trying to figure out how the fuck to get to my room or the elevator that takes me to my room. This is ridiculous. It's like not only do the casinos confuse you while you're actually in the casinos, they confuse you while you're even in the parking garage. Those people are screaming. Okay, well, Circus Circus Casino is a strange place. In the same way that all casinos are strange, but also not in the same way that all casinos are strange. I think there's trouble afoot.
You're the reason why I spilled my drink.
I feel like they hire some guy when they make a casino and they're like, here's what we're thinking, but can you make this, like, take what we're, our idea here and make it as confusing as humanly possible for people to get out of or figure out. And then you're hired. You get $1 million. For real, though, how the fuck do I get out of this parking garage? Like, where am I? I'm not that drunk, but, like, I'm totally lost. I'm going back to where I started because I just literally have no idea where to fucking go. How do I get back to the tunnel that goes back to my apartment, my hotel room? I think I figured it out. It's opposite the registration. This is a gas station. Where the fuck am I? What the fuck is going on here? I'm totally lost in this fucking garage. This is ridiculous. How do you get to the fucking tower that I'm staying in? I'm getting angry. Like, there's no signs. There's nothing. There's just exit signs, which is for the cars. Where the fuck is the goddamn fucking elevator? Like, I've already walked through this fucking garage for, like, the last 10 minutes. Where the fuck is the goddamn exit? This is ridiculous. Like, where's my car? Where? Am I going the right way now? Walking away from Jimmy John's? Put some fucking signs up. I was just here 5 seconds ago. I'm still baffled. Where is the entrance to where I'm living? Like, what is this? I'm in the wrong parking garage. That's what's happening. There's two parking garages, and I'm in the wrong one. And I need to go back down to get to the right one. Do you really want me to be wandering around the parking garage for a half an hour? No, you don't. So put some fucking signs in the parking garage. Like, literally, you want me to be confused in the casino, not the goddamn parking garage.
The idea is that if it's a bit of a hassle to leave, you might just decide to stick around and keep playing.
I've been walking for like fucking a half an hour now. I'm still not in my room. What is going on? It's a different paint color. Anything. Jesus Christ, I finally found the right hallway. That was fucking horrible. God, these fucking elevators are even horrible. Take me to the floor I want to go to. Are you fucking kidding me?
Some older casinos like Circus Circus in Reno can have elevators that feel outdated or just not very user-friendly. Sometimes the controls or the key card systems can be finicky.
Casinos are disturbing places. It's all underground. You don't see daylight. It's intentionally confusing. At one point, I didn't realize I was in a totally different casino than the one that I was staying in. I lost $19.95. I was walking out of the casino or trying to figure out how to get out of the casino. And somebody's like, hey, hey, hey. And I'm like, look around, what? And they're like, your ticket's about to fall out of your pocket. And I'm like, oh, it's only for 5 cents. And everybody laughed. Ha, 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 ha. And they're like, well, if we give him, based on his profile, if we give him this win now, he'll continue to play at this game. And I probably did. I won 20 cents. The thing goes bling, 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 bling. You win 20 cents. And you're like, oh, well, I guess I better keep playing. Oh, now I'm down to 5 cents, and there's no game that I can play, except for even the penny games, which they seem like they're penny slots, but no, they're actually like 30 pennies you need to play. Anyway, I had a great time tonight. If it doesn't actually come through in this recording, I did actually have a great time tonight. I found this whole experience to be fascinating. casinos are fascinating. People are fascinating. I interviewed some people. I talked to a guy at the restaurant from New York City. He works with musicians, none of whom I'd heard of, but, you know, he's in Reno, Nevada, so must be doing something right.
My parents were not necessarily the root of the trauma like they normally are for me.
Congratulations on that one.
I know, dude. Yeah, I lucked out. Yeah,
well done on that.
But we all have shit.
We all do. And it's crazy how much the stuff that happens when you're like 0 to 18 is the shit that ends up like forming you in a way for the rest of your life.
It really can, man.
It's crazy, yeah. Yeah. What's your name, man?
Julian.
Jeff, man. Good
nice
to meet you.
Bro. It's about your balance, bro. You can't take the... you can't take the... all of the societal shit and capitalism and all that and decide what your happiness is based off that. There's people who make way less money than you.
What do you mean by
that? I'm saying there's... no, this is... Alright, I'll give you my take.
Go ahead.
My privilege as a New Yorker and growing up as, like, a middle-class kid in a private school with the richest people in the city.
Middle class in New York, upper middle class anywhere else, for sure.
Yeah, I'm sure. But, anyway, but I went to school with billionaires. Kids.
Sure.
And
where'd you go?
Dalton.
Dalton. My friend worked at the other one up your side. He worked at,
There's a bunch. There's Horace Mann, Fieldston, Dalton, there's like Sacred Heart.
There's one more. It was anyway, it doesn't matter. We did
Browning, Tackley, Trinity.
Dalton's the one that Epstein worked at, right? He taught at Dalton, didn't he?
I think so.
Yeah, he did. Was he your teacher?
No. Years before.
I'm kidding.
But it taught me that money really, or lack of money, does not guarantee happiness.
100%.
And 100%. That lesson at an early age, along with no matter what you look like, what you do, none of it guarantees you shit. Like,
absolutely.
I don't know.
100%.
It evens the playing field with happiness.
You see these people who have so much money and they're just, because the bar keeps going up. That's the thing.
Sure,
like, it's just a human nature thing. They just want more and more and more.
They just get to a place where they have to work all the time and they don't raise their kids.
But human nature is still, there's a thing, I think these multimillionaires who have plenty of money, it's like you get to a place where you don't need to worry about anything. But your brain has to find things to be, like, you have to find things to worry about. Find things to be put to, you know, you gotta find something to do. Your brain wants to do shit. That's why Michael Jordan sold hot dogs. Remember those hot dog commercials? He sold hot dogs for a while on TV. And I was like, what are you doing? What are you doing?
You know what he made the most money off of besides Nike?
Nike. Well, Nike was the biggest money maker.
Second to that.
What's that?
Private prisons. Michael Jordan is one of the largest owners of private prisons.
No shit, dude. Oh, that's awful. Now I hate Michael Jordan. I never liked him that much, but still. That's
fuck funny. Michael Jordan, but also like the greatest baller who's ever played.
Does LeBron James have any money in anything horrible?
Nice to meet you, bro.
What's that?
I said nice to meet you.
Yeah, dude, good to meet you, man. Take care of yourself.
You too.
Be
drive
well,
safe.
Man. Thanks you, man. Thanks, man. Appreciate you.
Once you realize that the energy here is desperation and sadness, it's hard to not see it everywhere you look. Especially the people who live here, like, you live in Reno and you're hanging out in the corner of a parking garage at a casino. What's going on here?
What brings you to Reno?
I live here.
Oh, how long have you lived here?
I lived here since about February. I moved here from Wisconsin.
Why'd you move here?
Better weather, I guess. Lower rent, you know.
Right. Do you like it in Reno?
Oh, it's great.
You've been a gambler?
Not real big gambling, but yeah, I've done all right for myself.
Do you feel like you've come out on top in the end? Like, do you feel like in all your gambling life history, do you feel like you're up or down?
Mostly up, actually.
Mostly up. Well done. Well done. What do you do?
Right now, I'm taking the summer off.
Me too.
Unfortunately, my mom passed and left me some money, so I have enough money to cover my rent.
Well, congrats, man. Not near your mom dying, but I'm getting the money for your mom dying. What's your name again?
My name's Daryl.
Daryl Jeff. Nice to meet you, man. Thanks for talking to me.
Yeah. I gotta go to bed.
Hello, hello. Buenos dias. It is day 8. It is Wednesday, July 30th, 11:25 a.m. here in Reno, Nevada. Last night was weird, and I only had 3 drinks. Like, it's strange. I think they make the drinks extra strong here in Reno because they want you to gamble more. I got lost in the parking garage last night for about a half an hour. That was fun. And then later on in the night, I was just wandering around, and I guess it's all underground here, but I was wandering around, and then I was trying to get back to my hotel room, but I could not for the life of me figure out how to get back. And then I finally, like after another half an hour of wandering around looking for my room, I finally asked a dealer. I was like, how do I get back to my room? And he's like, are you in the Circus Circus? And I'm like, yeah. He's like, well, this is whatever the name of this hotel is, whatever casino. I'm like, oh, well, that explains it. So yeah, I had to walk forever to get back to where my room was. It was funny at the time, I think. Was it? I don't know. Anyway, I woke up feeling like hot garbage today. It took me about an hour to actually like feel like myself again. And I'm still a little bit worn for the wear. But I got a late checkout for my hotel room, so I don't have to leave here till 1, which is nice. Because I like hanging out in hotel rooms and recovering from hangovers. At the moment, I'm watching a ridiculousness marathon on MTV while slowly packing up my stuff. The only show that MTV shows now is Ridiculousness. It's literally on almost all day. I'm very soon going to start driving to Rice Lake, which is about an hour and 20 minutes away. And I will be in the woods. I'll be off the grid, so no cell phone service, which is nice. Oh, this hotel is weird. I mean, the room was cheap, but for a casino hotel, it's surprisingly vacant. The shower, though, is one of the worst showers, is the worst shower I've experienced throughout my entire trip. It's just like there's no real stream of any sort. It's kind of like somebody putting their thumb over a hose, but not really. I don't know. I mean, it got me clean, so that's fine, but what are you doing? Ridiculousness is actually a pretty entertaining show. It's like America's Funniest Home Videos, but more violent. Here we go. Day eight.
As I finish editing this episode, it is day 13 of my trip. I am sitting in my friend's tiny house in San Jose. How did I get here? What happened during the second half of last week? Find out in episode 11 of 1F Jeff, which will consist entirely of California. If you like this episode, you'll like that one even more. If you didn't like this episode, please tell me why, because I think it's pretty fun. 1fjeffpod@gmail.com. I hope you enjoyed listening to this episode as much as I enjoyed making it. If you are enjoying this podcast, please share it with other people who you think might also enjoy this podcast. And if you haven't done so yet, please subscribe to the podcast so you won't miss an episode. And then just take a few minutes to write a quick review, a nice review. It's not hard, and it'll make you feel really good. And if you'd like to see some photos of my trip or just want to snoop, you can follow me on Instagram at 1fjeff. Thank you all again for being here. Thank you for listening. I made 10 episodes of this. What do you think, Dad?
Very good, Jeffrey.